Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into the Keeping It 1000 podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. I'm your host, Adam Matez, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, former Denver Nuggets coach, George Karl. Coach, how's it going?
Oh, it's doing great. I love the fall, and I love NBA basketball being on TV every night, and, you know, it's time to evaluate what's going on. What the hell's going on out there?
What the hell is going on, indeed? This might be a what the hell's going on type of episode of this show here today. First, I'll ask you, though, how much basketball are you watching? Are you watching a game a night right now?
There's usually a game that I have zoned in, but I bounce around. I like watching the fourth quarter of close games. So, you know, about the 6:30 time is where y'all kind of, you're zooming around the different games and trying to figure out last minute situations and circumstances. But there's always one game kind of you want to go after, and when the Nuggets are on, that's probably the prime game. But haven't looked at it today, tonight. I don't know which one's going
on. Not that good of games tonight. Yeah. Atlanta, Utah is the only one. Tonight is kind of a bad slate. I know because I have to talk about all those games later today. So I was looking at it earlier. We were talking about this a little bit before, but you know, who are some of the teams that you like? Who are the teams that maybe you're more drawn to? You mentioned the Nuggets. Who else out there? Or maybe players. Maybe it's players you're drawn to.
I don't zone in on players until middle of the season. But
why?
Because I think it's a team game, and what young players are learning to be a winner, what really good all-star players are committed to themselves or committed to their team. The guy I like right now probably is Memphis and Morant.
Yeah.
I think that kid is pretty damn committed to being one of the best. And I think Charlotte and Memphis have been my teams from last year.
Yeah.
And they're still my teams.
Do you like LaMelo, the way he plays?
You know, I think he's a young player, and he makes young mistakes, and he's a little soft for me at times, but I like his influence on the game, yes. Yeah. You know, really, vision is really good at a high, high, high level. I can't believe he's turned into a good shooter already. I think that might fade as the season goes on when his body gets beat up a little bit. I think the other two teams are kind of impressive to me are Miami, and I got to throw Chicago in there.
Yeah.
I got to throw Chicago
Glad
in there.
Glad you did.
Utah's playing at their level or maybe a little better in the West. Phoenix has been disappointing. Dallas has been disappointing. I'm nervous on San Antonio because it looks like they could have a really bad year instead. Yeah. But, you know, next week it'll probably be some other teams.
I'm just looking at this. I mean, Miami 6-1, and they've been great, especially defensively. But I didn't realize they have a differential right now of 17 points per game. They're winning by an average of 17 points per game on the season. I know it's a short, only 7-game sample size, but that's impressive nonetheless. Nobody even comes close to that. They might be the best team in the NBA right now. I got to say, I'm a little surprised by just how good they've been right out of the gate. But they have good players and a great coach.
I like their defense a lot.
It's incredible defense.
Yeah, there are a couple teams right now look like they've gotten a little better defensively than most other teams in the league, and Miami's definitely top of that list. There's another team. Oh, Golden State's playing pretty good defense. Golden State, for a team that likes to play with pace, they're pretty committed to that. I mean, I think Wiggins doesn't get enough love for being a really, really, really good defender.
Mm.
And they got Iguodala in there and Jonathan Poole, who I think is going to be, it's going to be unbelievable when Thompson comes back to have those three guys out there on the court.
Yeah.
But I think Golden State has been impressive at the defensive end of the court.
Yeah. Chicago's an interesting one. I mean, I'm a big Lonzo fan. I like Zach LaVine a lot. I like Caruso. They're I think they might be my early favorite for my I call it my side piece team.
I like that team so much because it fits how I think you should build a team.
Let me hear it. What is it?
Well, instead of going after young players and put up with the nightmare of young players trying to be a winning player, and then the tug of war that gets in between player, coach management on young players, they went out and got three veteran players.
Yep.
All three of them are having an impact.
DeRozan.
DeRozan is having a rejuvenation of getting 30. Taking very, they're taking the 2-point shot a lot, but he's having a revitalized kind of career. And then Ball and Caruso know how to make teams better.
Yeah.
And you could have went out and signed a younger guy, or you could, they have the white kid sitting on the bench, not playing. They have two guys hurt right now that are their number one draft picks the last 2 years.
And it is funny because Kobe White was one of those guys that I'm sure fans last year loved. Like, he loved his upside, this or that. And now this year you have a good team and he's not playing.
Well, I think he's hurt, but I'm not sure of that. But I didn't expect. I mean, I've always, Zach LaVine, I think, might be the other than Durant, LaVine to me might be the hardest guy to cover.
Really?
I don't know how you cover him if he's making threes.
Yeah, yeah.
If he's making threes, he can get to the rim, he can dunk, he makes. And you know what's funny is everybody in the league, I was looking at this, but everybody in the league is, the way the referee is refereeing the game, the free throws are going down.
Yep.
But, Zach LaVine's free throws are gone up. And the thing I did not realize about the Chicago Bulls is Vukovic is a good passing big guy.
Yeah.
He's not in Jokic's class.
Of course.
But the kid is a really good passing big guy. And he kind of likes getting the ball to those guys.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, Vukovic, I always thought was a guy who can score points.
Down on the low block.
Yeah. At times, he actually, I thought, scored meaningless points. And I never really loved him, but I liked him. But I like him. I like him more in Chicago than I did in Orlando.
The pieces fitting, this is what I hate about the super team era, is some of these teams, in my opinion, have become so good that the way that they fit, the margin has just gotten so wide, and I don't like that. I like when a team has players that it just blends, and you think, oh, these strengths match up, the roles are defined, this or that. And I think Chicago is on pace. It's early, but they're on pace to be one of those teams where you think, none of these guys, I don't know if any of them are all-stars. Zach LaVine's an all-star, and Vucevic has made an all-star in the East. But I don't know you think about any of these guys as necessarily superstars, but they all come together in this way that just makes them so interesting, and that's what I like. That's the best basketball are teams that just come together that way. The Denver Nuggets haven't quite gotten there yet to start the season, and that's obviously going to be the focus here tonight. So just give me your first initial overarching perspective on the Denver Nuggets so far. I gather from talking to you before we went live, you're a little skeptical of them so far.
I don't think I've gone skeptical. I think I'm disillusioned a little bit. And the reason I say that is, Murray went down last year, and they played unbelievably well. and they played the right way. They knew they had to play hard. They knew they had to play together. They knew they had to, you know, figure out in a game how to win a game. And they were great at it. Mm-hmm. And then I see a totally different team this year. I see a team not playing with enough energy. Defensively, not giving me, you know, they're okay, but they're not. And, I mean, I asked you, but you said the Phoenix game was a good game. One, I thought Phoenix stunk in that game. And two, they were down 20 in that game.
Yeah.
And the other game that was an impressive win was Dallas. And I swear Jokic had a party in his house. And Doncic bought every number. And they drank a case of vodka.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. Dude, it would have been Rakia, not vodka. But maybe, you know, second night of a back-to-back, Denver really spanked him in that one. I thought the Minnesota game was impressive as well. It was ugly. Sometimes you have to win ugly second night of a back-to-back. Minnesota, maybe not a great team, but they're not a terrible team. And that was when Denver, nothing went right for him, and they still found a way to win that one. So that one's impressive, too, to me.
Well, Jokic is amazing.
Yeah.
And he's just, I think he's still amazing. But I think he's analyzing what's going on out there. He's trying to figure out what he can do to lift this team better than he's doing now. And I don't know if there is a lot of things he can do more. I think he's looking to do less if there is someone that would take that responsibility.
When you say he's looking around analyzing, because I agree with you. This is me reading some body language and just kind of knowing his rhythms. I do feel like there have been some games where he's kind of like, let me see what this guy's got. Let me see what goes up if I do this or what happens. And where maybe he could be aggressive and win a game or win a quarter or do this or that. But it's almost more of a, he's just taking notes. Let me see who I have with me. So I agree. But do you get the sense then, you know, in watching him, I think he looks better. Do you get the sense though that he is looking at something or someone in particular and trying maybe analyzing those players about how he fits in with them?
I think he has too many players out there that he's got to analyze.
But he's played with all these. This is the thing, as you mentioned last year, it's the same team. They added Jeff Green for Paul Millsap. Everybody else is the same. So why is it so much analyzing going on or needed?
Well, my answer would be, because you get tired of hearing it, I'll say it one more time. I don't think they have great playmaking, decision-making. Yeah. Make the game easy. Make the game flow. The only one that does that on a consistent basis is Jokic.
Right.
And Morris has had a bad start to the season. I mean, he's not shooting it well. He's not getting a high number of assists. It seems like they're searching for that position a little bit. Faku has lost his, you know, whatever, and the glory that he had last year. It seems like, you know, they're trying to find who to play back there a little bit right now.
Could Monte fix this problem? I mean, Monte had a rough summer. It sounds like he didn't play a lot of basketball, so he's a slow start isn't totally surprising to me, but is it enough if you just get one guy, one point guard?
Why didn't he play a lot of basketball?
He had a knee injury.
Oh.
He had a knee injury he was recovering from all summer.
I didn't know that.
I think he's a worker and had to take the summer off.
I think Monte is a good player. I think he's a good NBA player. I don't know if he's a starting NBA player. I would say no to that right now, but you know, I like his no-nonsense, low-turnover basketball mentality. At times, I think I want him to be more orchestrate-oriented than shot-oriented. But I could say that about almost everybody on this team except for Jokic.
Do you think Jokic's defense looks improved this season? I know it's only 8 games. It's hard. Anybody can have a good stretch for 8 games.
He has a little more of a comfort zone at the defensive end of the court. He kind of knows where. He doesn't get caught in what I call no man's land. He's usually up or back and in a good rhythm. You know, he's not leaving too early. He's got more confidence in the pick and roll game. He's been kind of the big man, and making threes has been a little bit of a problem. I'm not sure it's always been his fault.
Right.
But big men making threes, like last night's game, you know, That's going to become a bigger and bigger part of our game. I mean, we got Valanciunas now shooting threes.
Right.
I don't know what the next guy is. I think Plumlee.
He's not shooting threes.
And Charlotte is going to start shooting
he's
threes.
He's not going to be shooting
I'm going to bet you by the end of the year he's shooting more threes.
Can I take this bet?
No. Let me make a phone call.
Because Mason Plumlee, right, he would be one of the last guys.
I saw him working on it when I was in Charlotte's camp. He's working funny. On it.
He used to do it in Denver in practice. You know, he'd end his practice by doing some threes around the horn. I mean, I'm sure it just keeps things light.
Well, tell me who you like, who you want. Well, what's wrong with the Nuggets?
I want to come
in here and interview you.
Yeah, there you go. Flip the script on me. We're going to get to some of those here in a bit. The bench is a problem. Michael Porter's a problem. Is Denver a perfect team if you correct those two things? Not perfect. I mean, they're missing a big piece in Jamal Murray, and they won't be made whole till then. But the bench and Michael Porter, we'll get to those. I want to stay on Jokic for just a little bit more. I wonder, you mentioned earlier the rules and how they've changed and free throws are down. I wonder if you feel there's any correlation between Jokic's improved defense, especially in the pick and roll, and the new rules sort of allowing perimeter players to chase guys around pick and rolls a little bit closer than before. Because I actually predicted before the season that this was going to be a good defensive year for Jokic for that very reason. And I don't know if that's the reason. I don't have like film evidence to say this is why he's been better. But I'm wondering if you think it makes it easier for bigs to guard the pick and roll now.
I think it is. I think the not only on the offensive player having an advantage shooting the ball and leaning in and not giving that call up, I think they're letting more physicality if you have good position. Well, Jokic knows position.
Right.
He knows where to play from. Sometimes he just doesn't get there in time. And I think that helps him. And then I don't, you know, he's like, he doesn't go after a lot of shots.
Right.
He body bumps more blocks. He blocks more shots with his lower body than he does with his upper body. Which they're allowing you to do more this year than ever before. I think you're right. I think the refereeing is helping some teams and hurting other teams.
Helping some players even. And Jokic, you know, he's a guy that doesn't really do a lot of the things that they have taken away. He likes the physicality. I think he thrives in physicality. So the more physical the game gets, the better it is for him, I think. Here's a quote from Michael Malone earlier this week. He said, "We're only 7 games in, and sometimes I look at him, being Jokic, and I feel he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. I feel for Nikola because reigning MVP, so much is being asked of him every night. I feel that. I worry he almost feels like he has to play perfect. Not for us to win, but for us just to have a chance." Michael Malone's referencing one of the things that I was concerned about coming into this year, which is that Jokic has had to do so much and play every game and carry the team through all of this or that. Is another shortened offseason. And here you are in a season where the team looks pretty flawed. Jokic has been pretty great. But if he's anything less than great, you're not winning against about 20 teams in the NBA. Jokic has to have an A game or else the team's probably not going to win. If you're a coach, and I'm sure you've had moments like this with players that are tasked with carrying so much of the load, how much of a concern is that about, hey, this is 82 games. We're 8 games in. He's already carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Well, I didn't see that quote, so that makes me a little leery of he sees him every day. He knows him better than probably anybody else.
He made a point to say, this is not Jokic. He's never said anything. This is just me.
Right.
This is just me. So,
well, I mean, the numbers are definitely on that side. I mean, they're plus 82 and a minus 62.
It's absurd.
I mean, it's out of control when you look at it. But the bench has got to play better.
Yeah.
The players got to take more responsibility to just play better. I think the Houston game is going to help them get their confidence somehow back.
Right.
But, you know, I thought Jeff Green would be more impressive. But maybe the bench is just kind of searching a little bit right now. You know, my thought is maybe put Jeff Green in the starting lineup and mess around with the rotation a little bit. But, you know, it might be a little too early for that too.
Yeah. The when to make decisions is always interesting. When to make big moves for a coach. You don't want to be a knee jerk, but you also don't want to sit and lose the same way game after game. I mean, how do you weigh those things if you're Michael? He's already made some adjustments to the bench, and we're only 8 games in. How do you weigh not making knee jerk reactions, but with acting with urgency?
Well, the quote that comes to mind is George Patton said that a good plan aggressively executed is better than a procrastinated plan. Acting that you want the plan to be perfect.
Right.
And I believe in Patton's lot. I think if he knows in his heart he's going to make a change, he should do it as soon as possible. I'm like Belichick, you know, make your decision before it becomes a big mistake.
What's the quickest you've ever made a roster change? Meaning like we started game one with this guy, but we made a move really quickly. Do you recall?
Well, we just had it. We traded AI.
Well, that one was really quick.
That was like 2 days ago on our anniversary. I kind of remembered that day. And that was, I thought I was going to be fired, and that turned out to be a couple of years of really fun.
Right. Yeah. Some of the best years.
Yeah.
I'm just always interested in that one because I understand all sides of an argument like that about, hey, you got to give guys, you know, Austin Rivers helped the Nuggets win a playoff series just a couple months ago. Do you give him two games and say, hey, you're not good now. I know you did all this stuff just now, but now you're out of there. I just always wonder what's the balance between, hey, these guys have done things for us in the past. I want to give them a chance. I don't know. But let's move on, though, to Michael Porter because he's at the heart. I'm going to get back to the bench. We're going to circle there. We're going to spend a lot of time there. But Michael Porter's struggling. He's really has not shot the ball well. Is it as simple as that? His shot's just off. This happens? Or do you feel like there's something more you're seeing from him that's concerning?
Well, he's gone from supposedly one of the top 10 shooters in basketball to a 21% shooter.
He's one of his last 18 threes.
And you can tell he's not his balance, his form.
Yeah.
His legs are goofy, and he's not getting easy shots. You know, usually guys like that, I just say, well, let the game come to you. Don't force it. And then when you get two or three in a row, then you can force something. That's not his MO right now. He has more of a, I'm going to take this shot, and I'm good enough to make this shot. He's probably taking a little bit too tough a shot. I mean, I just don't think the first unit has a lot of connection right now. I'm sorry.
They pretty clearly do not. I mean,
their numbers are damn good. When Jokic is one of those numbers, but it just doesn't seem the flow and the rhythm. It comes and goes now. Like in the second and third quarter of last night's game, yeah, they had some good basketball going. But you know, then the fourth quarter, it was like, slow down, old school basketball, and they made more threes than we made. They beat us.
Right.
I mean, there was a stretch in the fourth quarter last night that every scoring opportunity was a 3-point play for like 5 minutes. I mean, there was a 3-point play on a foul, and then about 7 threes went in.
Right.
And I'm going, is that where the game is going now that we're going to try to win games by shooting threes and crazy threes?
And sometimes you run into a team. I thought last night, especially in that fourth quarter, I mean, Jaren Jackson made all of his shots. He just didn't miss. He misses one. Maybe Denver gets that one, even with all the other things that happened. But, you know, sticking on Michael Porter here, you mentioned you say a player, let the shots come to you. Do you feel like the reason, because I don't actually think he's taken that many shots. He's been around 10 shots a game, but you're right, he's not finding them. Do the Nuggets need to tailor the offense more towards him to get him comfortable because they need his points, or is it more, do you think, on him to figure out how to get points within the flow of the offense? I love when I make you frustrated with a question.
I think it's a little bit on both.
Okay.
And my answer to this question is what I've said all along. You gotta put someone on the bench who can score. And okay, we're gonna try to make the rookie our scorer off the bench, huh? Does that make a lot of sense? I think you guys gotta figure it out. And it seems like Will Barton has a little more of a connection with Jokic. I'm not sure of that, but I would go to Jokic and I go, Jokic, I'm gonna take one of these guys out of the lineup. What one do you want to play the majority of your minutes with? I think that would be my answer. And I would like it to be more of a team commitment to this rather than, well, I want to start. Well, why do you want to start? I mean, the game's easier when you play 20 minutes against the bench. If you're playing against the other team's bench, it's not as hard as playing against their starters.
I got to push back, though, a little bit. Can you realistically expect Michael Porter Jr. to come off of the bench? He just signed a max contract. I understand it in theory. I understand it in coach speak. I understand this. But there's another aspect
to it. It doesn't come out. It doesn't. What did Michael Porter Jr. average last year? 25 minutes a game?
More than that. More than that.
30?
Yeah.
Okay. I just called him, hey, Michael, you're going to get more than that this year. I promise you. Just let me show you that you're going to average more minutes than you've ever averaged before. But you're going to come off the bench.
Have you ever had a max contract player come off the bench on one of your teams?
I think probably. I don't know.
It's tough. I'm just trying to say, like, we can talk about the basketball and the ideal of it, but there's this other layer to it that is...
I think that layer sucks.
It does suck, but
it sucks.
It does suck. I agree with you.
It's fandom out there making it mean something.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's not blame the fans for this. I mean, this is just the way it works. You're right. Maybe in European leagues this can work, but in the NBA, it does mean something whether it should or shouldn't, and... You just don't see that. Outside of Manu Ginobili, I don't know when a team has made a financial commitment to a player this large and then said, hey, we're going to bring you off the bench. So I just, as much as we can sit here and talk about it, I just don't see it happening. I don't see a world in which not just this team doesn't do it, that any team
will. Then we go to Will. We'll get Will to come off.
That's just, 5% less or more likely, but unlikely nonetheless. Outside of that, so... One area you could do, it is funny because we're talking semantics here. Maybe instead of coming off the bench, you just go to your bench early. Some teams do this where it's like, hey, 4 minutes, we're making our first sub, and maybe that's the solution here. You would like, first of all, with Will Barton, I feel like he's been pretty good this year. It sounds like you don't feel that, and you feel the connection aspect maybe with him has been off.
I think he's been very good half the games and inconsistent in half the games.
He had a bad two-game stretch.
Though, and, sure. Like, I'm getting 28, and then I'm getting 6. I'm getting 24, and then I'm getting 10. I don't like the inconsistency of the rhythm of that, even though I think Will Barton has played very well, and I'm happy because I've always been a Will Barton guy.
Mm.
But last night he passed the ball better than he has passed it, which I think is right now. I want more players other than Jokic making good basketball players.
Right. You'd give Jokic. I mean, part of I think your frustration is if you have Jokic on your team, one of the all-time, in my opinion, best Nuggets we've seen as a team player. He understands the five-man concept, and if you give him a team that's connected with smart players, they're going to thrive. And I kind of get the sense you feel this isn't a team that has a ton of smart players. I'm not saying they're dumb. It's just that you don't have a bunch of guys on this roster that you would say, hey, those are guys that can be on Jokic's level in terms of reading the court and passing and this or that.
Some reason I'm frustrated with the fact that your best player, your best scorer, your best rebounder, your best passer, and your highest IQ player always in one player.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you can't even argue it. And so so many of the fundamentals of basketball that help you win basketball games, you kind of always have one guy. And he's becoming a better leader. He's not a great leader yet, but he's definitely making inroads on trying to be more assertive and more demanding of his team. And until you get Jamal back, I think he's probably going to be your best leader, too. I mean, I don't see anyone else.
Right.
The wings. Millsap had a little leadership to him. I thought Rivers last year gave them some veteran leadership. Haven't seen much of that this year. But, you know, and I'm not panicking. I mean, I really believe the way the league sets up training camp and no exhibition games and everybody takes a lot longer getting in shape and, you know, the physiology, people are saying, well, we can't bring him back too early. I think you have a lot of teams. I mean, has Brooklyn played well?
Right.
Has the Lakers played well?
Yeah.
Has Clippers played well?
Even Milwaukee, the reigning champs.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of the good teams. kind of searching for a little bit of a foundation that right. comes in training camp that maybe they haven't gotten yet, right. but they can get.
Yeah. Guys, today's show is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Mm-hmm. I know NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, the official betting partner of the NFL, they've got you covered. New customers can bet $5 on any NFL game to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can get this, can get skin in the game with the same game parlays. We've been doing this for every Nuggets game now, the same game parlays. They're a lot of fun. Combine multiple bets to get a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet $5, and if your team wins, you get $200 in free bets. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Let's talk about this bench. We've talked about Barton. We've talked about Porter. We've talked about Jokic. Actually, before we get to the bench, I've been impressed with Aaron Gordon's defense, and I've been impressed with his chemistry with Jokic. Offensively, I think he's a bit of a limited player, but defensively last night he guarded Ja Morant. We saw him guard Luka Doncic. Maybe he was, you know, had a little bit of the Rakia hangover or something like that, but he did a great job on him. I think defensively he's been extremely impressive this year.
I think he is trying to find out how he can have a major role on this team and how to make it bigger.
Right.
And instead of forcing the issue with offense, he's kind of doing it with doing some learning right. work. And I think if I was Malone right now, I'd be putting him on the best offensive player and giving him a defensive assignment every night. Seems like he likes that. He's responded well to it. And, I mean, after Jokic, I think Barton and Gordon probably have played as well as anybody.
I think Gordon's chemistry with Jokic has also been impressive. I mean, again, he's a more limited offensive player, but it does seem like those two guys are reading each other a little bit better than what we saw last year.
More cutting.
Yeah.
More aware of it, that there's a dunker on the court.
Yeah.
Which I like as a coach a lot. I like to get dunks into the game. and he was impressive last night. And I don't know why we just don't, you know, because when your team can feel guys playing good defense or one guy being really, it lifts everybody else to play that way. And maybe Gordon give him. I mean, I don't know where they rank in defense, but.
They're high. I think they're the third or fourth this year, something like
and
that.
And why? Why do you think they're up that high?
Well, because they can't score. They got to play defense at the moment. Why do you think they're so high?
The pace of the game.
No. Even adjusted for pace. This is pace adjusted.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, even pace adjusted. They've been a very good. They held the first four of the first five teams under 100 points. Even when you adjust for pace, those were very good defensive performances. So Denver been this year, they've been a good defensive
team. That formula, I like to see that formula. I think it's tilted.
The formula is actually very simple. It's points per 100 possessions. So it just, some games are 103 possessions, some games are 98 possessions. But if you do it by possession and handle how many points do they score, you get them. Denver currently fourth. So they're only behind Utah, Miami, and Golden State through eight games. I think the defense has been very good. It's just that offensively it's been clunky outside of Jokic. But let's get to this bench unit. I know you don't like rookies, so let's get it out of the way.
That's not true.
Well, no. I know you don't. You see the flaws in them, and fan bases maybe can overreact. But I want to ask you about Bones Highland, because this bench unit has been so, in my opinion, flawed for a couple reasons. They don't have guys that can really get into the paint and finish. There's not a lot of like pressure you're putting on the paint at all. You don't have bigs that can roll to the rim. You don't have great shooting. Bones Highland's a very good, I think, pick and roll player. And he has been one of the things that Malone's done a couple different things, but he's been one of the things of, hey, let's bring this guy in and let's try to get him putting pressure on the rim. What have you seen from him so far for the Nuggets, and how would you analyze him?
He's going to be an NBA player. He's a young scoring guy. His asset is he scores.
Yeah.
His asset, he might score a little bit differently than some other guys. But his asset is he's taking shots away from other people. And playing a young kid in a tough situation, you know, there's some merit to that. But, you know, I've always tilted to give the veteran guy the more.
Right.
The guy that's been there before has felt this pressure. But, you know, right now, he's playing as well as Austin Rivers. He's playing as well as Faku. And he's playing as well as Dozier. So, you know, I think playing him right now makes some sense. But I probably like role definition more than, something that might shake the confidence in everybody's confidence a little bit.
You think that second unit has lost confidence?
Well, they don't play well, so they're not playing well. I mean, it's not minus one or three.
Right.
It's minus 10.
Yeah, it's minus a lot.
You know, it's like the plus minuses just say, you got to look at this. This is a problem.
Right.
And their three-point shooting's a problem.
Right. Do the pieces there, I mean, I just wonder. So you have Jamichael Green and Jeff Green. Neither of those guys are centers, and neither of them are above-the-rim threats. You could create a lot of gravity by having a guy roll to the rim, a DeAndre Jordan, because they're worried about the lobby, worried about this or that. You also have Faku and Dozier, and before Austin Rivers, guys who couldn't get into the paint and finish. I mean, guys, Faku will get in the paint, guys will block his shot. So I feel like I don't know where the problems are. If it's any one guy, or if it's just, hey, these guys have some talent, but together you have too many things none of the guys can do.
I agree. I agree that you need more attacks of the rim. You need the ball into the paint, and that's where even good defensive teams make mistakes on how to cover the ball in the paint. And that's why you take it to the paint.
Yeah.
I mean, finding that guy, I don't know who that guy is right now, to be honest with you.
And I think that's part of what Malone is doing right now is he's looking around and saying,
your three men, and your three men don't give you, unless you're playing three guards, don't give you that.
A wing creator.
I mean, Porter looking to shoot. Barton wants to score it. It doesn't have a lot of flow. It doesn't have a lot of rhythm right now. Right.
What goes into a coach's preference? Some coaches like to stagger right away. And you play a couple minutes with your starters, and then you stagger, and you don't really get back to that maybe until the fourth quarter or start a second, whatever. And some coaches love to play their starters together for 9 minutes, and then you stagger for a couple minutes, then you have your bench together for 5-6 minutes. What goes into a coach's preference for whether or not to stagger a lot and early or to stagger very little and keep five-man units together?
I'm not a believer in the five-man unit thing.
Okay.
I mean, my belief is I like a starting lineup that there's at least one position that might not be a finisher. I actually like maybe two positions that you might finish.
Easier, more clarity what you're doing.
Yeah, you're letting the game tell me who to play at the end of the game. It's not me saying this is going to be my finishing lineup.
Oh, I got you. Every night you're saying?
Every night.
Oh, okay.
Every night. I guess you're asking me, I like mixing and matching. You say start substituting at 4 minutes. I waited to six.
Okay.
John Stockton was taken out of almost every game at the 6 minute mark.
Right.
When he played at Utah because he played better with the second unit. So you take him out and put him back in. And that's the thing you're searching for. Is there a rotation that makes the guys that aren't playing well together now play together and find some good basketball?
So what are some of the combinations maybe you think you could see a little bit more of? I mean, would you try Jokic more with that second unit like they did last night where they took everybody out of the starting lineup 4 minutes into the game and put Jokic with the bench guys? Or, you know, what else? You mentioned earlier also Barton and maybe Michael Porter with the second unit.
Well, I think the second unit needs more scoring and more confidence in their shooting. Right now, the shooting scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
it's bad. It's really bad.
As right now, Denver has dropped, and they're making shots because they made a lot of shots last year. Now, Murray was in most of those games, but even without Murray, they made a lot of shots. I don't have that confidence in their shooting right now. And most of the NBA teams, I think, the teams that are playing well right now have upgraded their three-point shooting.
Right.
They're elevating their, I mean, you have a lot of teams trying to shoot a lot of threes.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
The Knicks are maybe the best example of this. They've got, all of a sudden, they've got all kinds of three-point shooters.
Yeah, and Tibbs is not a three-point guy.
Right.
And, you know, almost every night, I think some teams is getting 20 or close to 20 threes
right.
going in. That's a lot. And when you lose the three-point line 20-7,
right.
I don't know how you win. I have no idea how you win.
To your point, Denver's third worst three-point percentage in the season. The only teams worse with shooting the three this year in terms of three-point field goal percentage are the Thunder and the Pistons, two of the worst teams in the NBA. So Denver's in bad company when it comes to their ability to make the three right now.
Well, where are they in points in the paint?
I can look that up for you here in just a second. Let me see here. Miscellaneous points in the paint. They are, and this is per game, so this isn't pace adjusted. Denver is 10th. 10th in points in the paint.
What's the number?
48 points per game.
That's pretty good.
48.3 points in the paint.
That's Jokic.
It's a lot of Jokic, yeah. It is a lot one guy and how he creates it. What about this upcoming five-game homestand now? So, you know, it's been fragmented. Game here, game on the road. Game here, game on the road. A little bit of a road trip here. Five-game homestand early in the season as a coach. What is the opportunity and sort of what are you looking at here 8 games in with a five-game homestand?
Well, I'm looking at it as 7 out of 8. And they're home this month. And they're not home very much in December.
Oh, right. Yeah, December. It's the opposite.
I mean, yep. December, I think they have 3 home games.
Yeah, they're, yep.
So I think you got to get a, you know, you got to dig out of this hole a little bit. So 7 out of 8, if you get 6 or 7 wins, you're probably stabilizing a little bit. You're going to have to play well to do that. But that would stabilize my discontentment. But they got good teams. Houston's the only easy team.
Right.
I think they go to Dallas. I think they got Miami twice in the month of November. I think they got Indiana in there.
Do you look this far ahead as a coach? I mean, I always hear from coaches, you know, only the game ahead. And I know that's a little bit of
chaos. I block. I've always done 20 games. The first 20 games, the second 20 games. I've always challenged my teams a quarter of the season, like, and I wanted to win, you know, in the month. I wanted to win. I wanted to have 3 months where I won double digits.
Right.
You know, so you're probably not going to get to that in November unless you start playing better.
Yeah, to your point, so it is 7 out of 8 games are at home here with the one Dallas game being the road one. And you've got the top of the Eastern Conference in that stretch. You've got Miami. We've got Dallas. Miami, Philadelphia, and Chicago. All come to town. So those are those aren't easy ones. They're by no means easy. You've even got Atlanta and Indiana, which will be tough. So, but I just feel like early on in the season, getting to be in the same place, especially if that same place is home, if you get to be home for 5 games, which comes out to probably 8-9 days, that I just wonder if that can help, if that aids the stabilizing process.
I definitely think it can help. I mean, guys not playing well, younger players play better at home. Guys that don't play are searching for confidence will play better on their home court. No question about that. But I think what I'm searching for not only is better individual play, but I want to see better connection. I want to see better energy.
Yep.
I want to see better positive basketball. It seems like they're heavy out there.
Yeah.
It seems like their body language is not bad, but it's drifting in that direction. Their energy, they're worried instead of confident. Their energy is more individualistic than camaraderie oriented. There's a lot of little things in the game of basketball that winners know how to make happen. And I'm not saying these guys, this is more in leadership of a winning than talent of winning.
Yeah.
You know, Nate McMillan and Chauncey Billups are the two greatest leaders I've ever had. And it had nothing to do with their skills.
Right.
It had the ability to make something bad into good and take good and make it special and always elevating what's going on the court.
as a coach, when you see a team playing with that weight that you're talking about, do you change your approach? Meaning, you know, you can be really tough on guys. You get in a presser and you rip guys and you say this or that. And you start to see the confidence drift. I got to be careful with that. I got to be really conscious that this is a group losing confidence.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always, our beginning of our every meeting was on attitude and ego.
Really? The first thing in the meeting?
Every night after a game, especially.
The temperature, okay.
Who's happy? Who isn't happy? Who's got to be kissed? Who's got to be kicked? you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we've talked a little bit about the joy of basketball was winning. Right. Winning a big game. Winning when you're not supposed to win. You know, the joy has kind of been taken out because there's so many guys now, even in a 20-point win, kind of have some complaints.
Yeah.
And I'm going, there should be no complaints when you win by 20. We've done a job. We did it at a high level. Celebrate. Be joyful. But that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, my assistants once told me that when I'm clearing the bench, how I clear the bench, if I pick the wrong guy at 11, it pisses off the guy at 10. And I go, you got to be kidding me. They said, no, coach, they get pissed off. I go, you got to be kidding me. Because I was that bench guy. And, you know, I mean, hell, I'm getting to play basketball. Let's go in here. I got a 20-point lead. I'm going to go enjoy life.
Oh, my goodness. What are you looking for in this coming, you know, the next week? We're going to talk again here in a couple weeks, but what are you looking for over the next 2 weeks with the Nuggets? Where's your attention?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is there going to be a rotational change?
Right.
Knowing Malone, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's probably, maybe I'm wrong. The other thing would be the bench and finding a responsible commitment that we can stand behind and improve. And then in general, I think Porter and their shooting's got to turn around.
Yeah. Yeah. The shooting is a big one. And like you said, at home, hopefully you get a little rhythm going. You're shooting on the same net. And I feel it's funny you mentioned LaMelo earlier about his shooting. I agree or disagree with me. I think confidence is probably underrated in how important it is to a professional player's shooting. LaMelo Ball right now, it's early in his career. He has just so much confidence. So he's got that form. He's got all this stuff, and he just makes them, and he's got all this confidence. I look at Michael Porter. I think he's got a perfect form. Does he misbalance from time to time? Sure. Yeah, okay. But his confidence is very low right now. You could tell that. And I wonder, like, sometimes you have to fight through that low confidence, start making them to get your confidence up, and then it snowballs that direction. He's always snowballing in a different direction. More confidence, easier shots made. Less confidence, tougher shots made.
Confidence is a fleeing. It's I mean, everybody in the NBA thinks every NBA player is confident.
Right. Not the case.
I would say about 20% of the NBA is really confident. And then there might be another 20 to 30% that, you know, if they do lose their confidence, it'll be for a short period of time.
Right.
But the majority, I'm thinking the vast majority in NBA is searching for a confidence in. When they get in the game, can they find the rhythm? Can they find flow? Can they get an easy basket? And can they have a really good game? Because the game is only structured to the top two or three guys on your roster.
Right, yeah.
To have an open window to have a good game.
Right.
The other guys got to find that window.
Right.
They got to find the flow. They got to find the spirit of the game tilting their way.
Right.
You know, get lucky for, you know, get an offensive rebound or get lucky for a layup.
Right.
You know, anything to get your and most of the confidence comes from the offensive end of the court.
Hmm. Who's confident on the, is there any player on the Nuggets roster you feel has unshakable confidence or one of those 20%?
Well, Barton and Jokic come to mind. I mean, there are nights where I think Barton is too confident. But Jokic is, I think Jokic right now, I said this, I spoke to the Denver University basketball team. And I said, you guys don't understand. If Jokic wanted to get 50 tonight, he can get 50.
Yeah.
And maybe we want him a little hungry. That's not my normal thought. But, you know, the guy is a machine right now. And it's fun to watch, but it's not fun to lose. So right. I think we got to figure it out.
You think he could get 50, huh? I always wonder what his upside would be as a scorer. If that's what he was. If he just said, I just want to be a scorer. I want to see what I can do.
He's a great shooter, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all shocked last night that he missed that shot.
Yeah. He was fouled. This is why, because I was so shocked too. I could not believe that he missed it short. And then somebody showed me the video and I thought, okay, now it makes sense to me. Hey, man.
Is the hand a part of the ball?
Well, it wasn't the hand though, but it doesn't matter. We don't have to argue. It happens in basketball.
Where was it?
I'd say about right there, a little lower than where you were before.
But he had some fingers on the hand?
No, he had no fingers on the hand here. He had no finger. It doesn't matter though. It doesn't matter here. Actually, you know what? We'll play it right here for you. You can get I'll see George's reaction live here. Does he get the hand?
Ooh.
I mean, it happens. That's the NBA, though. It happens. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, the guy made a good – he had good defensive position, and he jumped.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he did a
good
job. Most
of the time, Jokic has this guy off balance.
Jokic just never misses those. When he missed that one, I just was so shocked.
He got fouled.
I didn't see it till an hour or two later.
That referee got reprimanded this morning.
He had a talking to. We have some questions in the chat there, Kale, before we wrap up.
Yep, just a couple. Do you think Bol will get any chance with the Los Dos Verdes play right now?
I mean, you guys are asking. It's hilarious who asked this one. Who's the one that asked it here?
Cadell Nixon.
Cadell Nixon. So I think you think you're going to ask me, and I will tell you my answer. There's no chance. There's not a chance on earth that he's going to go to Bol.
I think he's
going to
get some time in Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
Is it Grand Rapids?
Yeah.
That's where I think you should go get some time.
That question is so hilarious, though, Kale, to me, because it's if I'm saying no, I can only imagine what Coach Carl thinks about, hey, let's try out Bol Bol.
I think he should play. I think he should play in Grand Rapids because I kind of like how he plays.
You like how Bol Bol plays? This is a surprise.
Well, he's not a big guy. He's a big guy that plays.
Tall. Yeah.
He's a tall guy that plays like a 3-4 man.
Yeah.
And that guy, guess what? That's where the game's going a little bit. We're going to have 7-foot ball handlers pretty someday.
So is he a 3?
Well, I wouldn't want to see him. Well, you know, I think he can play 5 because he's not a bad rebounder.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, his body is soft and weak.
Yeah. What else we got? Here we go. We got one from Byron. All right. How difficult is it to do more with this bench when you have two of the exact same players in the greens, Jermichael Green and Jeff Green? They always want to be in the same place doing the same things. I don't know how much I think they're the same player, but they do run pick and pop. They both like to run the pick and pop.
It's pick and pop only works if you have pick and roll. If you only have pick and pop, it can be covered.
Right.
You need a threat on the tip of the rim rolling to the basket. Now, Jokic goes sometimes, but I think I would say his percentage is he's a pick and pop guy.
Right.
So can we find someone that can give them a little bit of pick and roll? We used to do a training camp where the first 2 weeks there was everybody had to pick and roll.
Had to roll, all players.
And then after 2 weeks, we allowed Wilson Chandler to pop, or Gallo to pop. But everybody had to roll early in the camp.
Because players will take the pop option.
To show why we need this roll guy.
Right.
This opens the game up for everybody else if we have a roll guy to the basket.
That's the thing about cutting in general is that, and a roll is really a cut in a lot of ways, but it's that most of the time when you do it well, somebody else gets the benefit of it. And you don't always see it, and everybody else doesn't always see it. But you're right, putting that pressure on the rim. Is there another one, Kale?
Yep.
What do you guys think of some Aaron at the 5 minutes with the bench? Someone who can genuinely put that pressure on the rim maybe can help that unit?
Well, all I know is when my big guys weren't playing well, I went little.
Okay, yeah.
And Aaron Gordon at 5 and against 20 NBA teams can get away with it. But, you know, it's a dynamic personality change a little bit, even though the Green kids are a lot like Gordon. But, you know, I mean, I think you got to – I would have no problem trying that lineup, to be honest with you. Put 4 guards out there with Gordon and play small. There's a lot of NBA teams playing that way.
Can you just play Gordon with, let's say, Jamichael Green? And Jamichael Green maybe guards the fives, but Aaron Gordon is your roller. So you have he's playing what is traditionally the five as the role man.
Yeah, you can trick teams into switching the right defender
right.
that you want in the pick and roll. You can rob box to box with bigs and they'll switch it.
Right.
What you're trying to do is get it, you know, so much of the game is put the weak defenders in the pick and roll.
Right, yeah.
You know, or sometimes put them on the weak side to where they give up the three ball. But
mostly now it is put them in the pick and roll, though. Right. It does seem, yeah, try to get your two best.
I remember a long time ago we had Magic and Kareem. And that was our offense, run pick and roll with Magic and Kareem.
Just make them guard as much as possible. Yeah. Wear them down, make them make mistakes. All right, one more.
Yep.
Sometimes I would rather have 10 players who are all similar quality so you don't lose anything with first and second unit. I know Europe basketball is much different, but Coach Carl, Czech Partizan now.
Yeah.
Coach Carl, Czech Partizan now, question mark? You kind of seem, I from our conversations, I think you're against this. You like an established, this is our first best guy, this is our second best guy, this is our fifth best guy. Or do you like it maybe if it is more ambiguous where the top and bottom of a roster is?
I'm not sure I have that much structure. Because I like guys to go out and try to play great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I think you got to have defined responsibilities and rules, especially to offensive situations, shot selection, turnovers, offensive rebounding responsibility. All those things, there's some fundamentals you need in every game at a high level.
Yeah. Okay. How are the Nuggets going to do this next one? What do you kind of think? What's your sense of how they're going to play here over the next couple? We'll just say next week.
I'm hoping for 6-2, but I'm thinking it's 5-3.
Okay.
Well, I don't think they get Dallas in Dallas. And so
that's a back-to-back. Road back-to-back's always tough.
Can they get every game at home?
Those are good teams. It's going to be tough.
I mean, those are good teams, so I'm giving them one loss. And if they did that, I think we'll all be happy next time we talk.
Well, there you go. That does it. That wraps it up for this edition of the Keeping It 1000. If you guys missed last week's, we had LaFonso Ellis on as part of our Legend series. I know we're going to continue doing that Legend series. It was a fantastic conversation. George Carl and LaFonso Ellis, of course, both part of that 94 incredible series, and we talked about that from both perspectives.
Why does your voice get energized when you talk about that series?
It was a great conversation.
Oh, you're happy about LaFonso Ellis. I'm going to ask for more salary. I need a raise.
Hit that like button on the way out. And don't forget, guys, this is also a podcast. So if you're in your car, if you ever want to catch this and you didn't, the Keeping It 1000 podcast, its own podcast feed. You can go in there and give a rating on iTunes. Give us the 5 stars. Tell us you enjoy hearing from Coach about the Nuggets. And everybody else, we'll see you guys next week.